it's easier.
Okay. Thanks, everybody, for coming. We're gonna make a switch here and start looking at possible solutions. I should say I have no disclosures. This study looks at what states can do in order to reduce youth exposure to alcohol advertising. This is something that Samantha talked about. The research is getting increasingly good in terms of making the connection between increased youth exposure to advertising, increased intention to drink, and earlier initiation and increase in drinking. And I just want to mention the ad. These ads are from the Captain Morgan's Rum Facebook pages. And if you really want to see the bad ones, go to the Mexico. You can go on and if you do a little search on Facebook and type in Captain Morgan's Rum, you have a choice of several countries. And the Mexico version has very young kids, including these two young men who have been drinking Captain Morgan's Rum. The one on the left was posted on the web by the mother of the child on the right. And this all has to do with, it's fortuitous, it's drink responsibly, Captain's Orders is right there. This is the pose-off that Captain Morgan's Rum has sponsored on their website that has gotten very popular with young people. I just have to tell this story, sort of the transition from the previous two presentations to mine. I showed some of these ads in a conference recently in Syracuse, New York, and there was a teacher in the audience who raised her hand at the end of my presentation and said that at her high school, it's a small high school, there were about 75 seniors, and in the graduation picture, they all went into the captain's pose, and the senior picture was taken with all the kids in the captain's pose, and all the teachers and administrators thought, well, they're just up to something cute. And it wasn't until right before the picture was going to be published that one of the kids told one of the teachers what it actually was, and they had to do the whole thing over again. But these kinds of contests are particularly noted by our young people. In any case, the study that I'm going to report on today has three goals. It, by the way, was funded by the Center for Alcohol and Marketing and Youth at Johns Hopkins University and hired my consultation firm in order to do the work. It's an update of a study I did with others in 2003. When I was at the Pacific Institute for Research and Evaluation, and I'd also like to acknowledge my co-author, Elena Cohen, who did much of the actual legal research. Three goals: identify state policies that address youth exposure to alcohol advertising and marketing, determine the best practices for each of those policies, and then canvass the states to determine the status. The original report, as I said, was published in 2003. At that time, we reviewed 11 policies. For this report, we honed it down to 8 policies, in part because of budget restrictions. And we also went back over the best practices criteria and made some revisions and updated those in light of a number of factors, including legal decisions that are made by courts and advances in the research. So the two studies are not strictly comparable. In other words, looking at one and then looking at the other, you have to be a bit careful in describing the trends, because some of the differences relate to the coding changes. And I should say, as I'm going to go through the policies, that one of the underlying goals here is to look at what the states can do in this area. One of the things we have in alcohol policy that's not true in other areas of public health is we have the 21st Amendment that explicitly gives the states extensive regulatory authority over the alcohol industry, including alcohol marketing. In large measure, it's not used, and we rely primarily on the federal government. We've found how difficult it is to move federal legislation. And often, working at the state level from an advocacy standpoint can be much more effective. So part of the study was to try to give advocates in the various states some levers to deal with this exposure, alcohol advertising exposure to youth, some policy levers that may be more effective in getting started on this issue and start pushing the feds after we get some of the states moving. You can also take this down one level further. It's another area that I'm quite active in, which is in many cases these policies can also be enacted at the local level. And that has to do, each state has its own version of what's called state preemption, which is the extent to which they let local jurisdictions, cities and counties, enact some of these policies. In any case, I broke these down roughly into these categories. First, we'll start with measured media, and we have two content policies that we looked at. Policies that prohibit false and misleading advertising, and policies that prohibit alcohol advertising that targets youth. I put this ad in here because the Federal Trade Commission just less than a month ago, ruled that for these supersized alcohol pops such as juice, showing the consumption of directly out of the can is itself a false and misleading advertising. This is a somewhat slippery phrase, but it's extremely important in terms of addressing this issue, and I'll talk about the coding of that a little bit later. But these are the only two we looked at that were content-based. Content regulation is rather difficult, but what these two give you is potentially a handle for going after the industry for targeting youth if you have these in place in your state codes. We were more interested in exposure and promotion. In measured media exposure, we looked at the explicit jurisdiction over in-state electronic media. Surprisingly, states do have quite extensive authority over radio and television, as long as it is the shows are being broadcast from in-state. They also have extensive authority to restrict outdoor alcohol advertising, and there's a wide variety of this outdoor advertising happening. Now, these are some bus shelters I showed here, but the previous two speakers had a lot of good examples of how creative the industry is getting in turning our outdoor landscape into just big alcohol ads like Samantha's ice rink. Continuing on the exposure side of measured media, restricting alcohol advertising on alcohol retail outlet windows and outside areas, and prohibiting alcohol advertising on college campuses. And this ad is part of the Snoop Dogg tour for Pabst Blast brand, and they went to maybe 15 U.S. cities. They'd show up at the retailers, plaster the windows with all these different ads, which, by the way, in many states would be completely illegal. Unmeasured media, we looked at just two, restricting sponsorship and civic events and limiting giveaways. So those are the policies we looked at. I'm not going to have time. Oh, and here's the coding. This was based on both the review of the research literature and the legal legal frameworks for these policies in the context both of statutory authority and the court interpretations of the First Amendment and state laws. And so we coded them either as a best practice, the state had the best, we laid out what the best practices were, and then we did the legal research to determine whether the states had the best practice, if they had part of it but not all of it, and coded that as an I, and whether they had no law on that particular policy. And this will make more sense once I've run through a couple of these. First, we'll look at the prohibit false and misleading advertising. There were three criteria for getting a best practice coding. First of all, the statute needed to prohibit false advertising. Second, it needed to include the phrase include misleading as a specific term, and misleading irrespective of falsity was a key phrase. And this is because you want to be able to look at what is implied in the ads rather than having to be limited to having to prove falsity in the ad. You want to have this misleading phraseology. It's very typical in most of these statutes. It's what the Federal Trade Commission works from. And the third thing is we were looking to make sure the statute applied to all alcohol advertising generally. In many cases, we found statutes where it applied to only the how wine was made, as an example. So it was not a general going after false and misleading advertising, but rather was after a specific area within the alcohol industry, might well have been lobbied for by the industry itself. Now, one of the things that's important about this is it provides your attorney general potentially with the basis for bringing lawsuits against the industry, an industry member who is engaged in such practices as the supersized alcopops, where there's a lot of, this is an issue going on right now. There's a session tomorrow that I understand Sarah's going to be presenting at, where we're looking at these new, these 24-ounce supersized products, the offspring of the alcoholic energy drinks, with 12% alcohol. There is a very good argument that the FTC has now made, it's in the consent order, that in fact packaging these products in those cans as a single serve is itself false and misleading. Now, if your state has a statute that has this type of language in it, potentially your state could go after those producers for false and misleading advertising, and unlike the FTC has done, actually come up with some remedies that will work and some penalties that will hurt, so that this kind of outrageous marketing gets stopped. So for each of these policies, we've drawn a map to show what the distribution of states that have the various provisions. The gold are the best practice, the incomplete are the green, and the purple are the no laws. As you can see, we have maybe 12, I can't remember the exact count, 12 states with the best practice. One of the things I should have mentioned is that we wanted these statutes to be explicitly about alcohol ads, not in the general consumer protection area, but in the alcohol statutes themselves, so that it's clear that it's about alcohol and potentially not only gives your attorney general the authority, but also the Alcohol Beverage Control Agency. Okay, let's just switch and we'll look at restricting outdoor alcohol advertising. And you're going to give me a 5 minute?
Yeah.
Okay, how much time do I have now?
You have about six minutes.
6 minutes, okay. This is an area that is very explicitly within local and state government authority. This is not something that the federal government is going to help us on. So you really want your state to be active in this area and to provide your local communities with some tools as well. We combined two of the policies from the last report into one. There are two ways of getting a best practice. You restrict alcohol advertising without regard to advertising content. There are four states that do this, and that's in Vermont. When you go down the freeway, you don't see any billboards because Vermont has said we want very, very few billboards in our states, very, very restricted. It captures alcohol billboards, and so you get rid of the alcohol billboards as part of an overall billboard regulation. The second way to get a best practice is not to have the general one, but to restrict alcohol advertising in locations where youth are likely to be present, with a distance threshold of 500 feet, at least 500 feet, where all types of alcohol advertising is included, and the schools, playgrounds, and churches are included as youth venues. And if we'll take a look at the map here, you'll see we have very few states. The only states that got the best practice were the ones with the general restrictions, Alaska, Hawaii, Vermont, and Maine. We had seven states that had some of those restrictions on where billboards can go. The 500 feet thing, by the way, I believe is in at least some of the industry codes. So the states are not generally looking at this restricting outdoor advertising as a high priority. I note that in Baltimore, and some cities have the restrictions that would meet the best practices at the local level. Finally, let's look at the best practices for promotions. That's the sponsorship of community events. There are three things we are looking for: prohibit alcohol industry sponsorship on college events, prohibit alcohol industry sponsorship of events in public venues, and significantly limit sponsorship of events in private venues and other alcohol retail outlets. And here,
3 minutes.
3 minutes. We only have four states that have any of those provisions, even though this is an area that, again, the states could have extensive authority in, not much action. I'm going to run through the other maps. I just want to show you the colors so you get a sense. Except for the electronic media one, The states aren't availing themselves of the authority they have in general. And the two that they do have authority is the electronic media and the false and misleading are two areas that are really about process rather than about actual restrictions. It's saying, well, if you do, you do have the authority to do it if you want to, but if you don't use that authority, it doesn't do any good, unlike the others where it would actually restrict the exposure. There's limit giveaways. So let me go over the findings real quickly so I can end on time. Two major findings, the states largely ignore these tools for reducing youth exposure. We have 23 states that have none of these, no best practices, and 13 with neither best practices or incomplete codes. In other words, not a single provision that would reduce youth exposure. And most BPs are found in the two topics, as I mentioned. The other thing we found in the last year, 8 years, has been very little legislation. And the extent there has been, mostly it's been in the wrong direction, although there's some notable exceptions, including Washington State, which actually used our CAMI first report, reviewed it, and made several changes in their laws to limit youth exposure. It's a very modest step, actually, in Washington. But this is the Washington Commission, Liquor Commission, that did this. And this is the kind of first steps we need to see in a lot of other states. Thank you very much. Thank you.